Welcome to our Bible study on the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. As always, I am assuming you have read the passage, that you have your Bible open before you, and that you understand our translations may not agree. I also want to invite you to join us for the in-person Bible study on Wednesday evening from 5:15 until 6 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall of the Church. A similar story of our passage is also told in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 20, verses 29 through 34, and in Luke, chapter 18, verse 35 through 43. This is the last healing story in the Gospel of Mark, and concludes Jesus' ministry outside of Jerusalem. Our story brings to mind Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 7 through 9, in the mood of joy as the blind, lame, and those in travail shout and sing their way to Zion. This story is occurring as Jesus heads to Jerusalem, and in fact, leads us right into Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem, what we know as Palm Sunday, where there is much to celebrate and much to shout about. At verse 46, we are told Jericho. It was on the west bank of the Jordan, about 15 miles northeast of Jerusalem. It was the gateway to the holy city Jerusalem for pilgrims coming from the north and the east. In Jesus' day, Jericho was a rich and flourishing town, host to a considerable amount of trade and celebrated for the date palm trees filled with delicious dates that adorned the surrounding plain. And Jericho was also the setting Jesus used when telling the story of the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10, verse 30. Of course, for most of us, when we hear the word Jericho, we probably think of Joshua and the Battle of Jericho in Joshua chapter 6, and the Israelites' entrance into the Promised Land. In that famous story, we remember how the walls of that great city came tumbling down, not by catapults or battering rams, but at the shout of God's army. In that story, victory is found because of the people's willingness to shout, to go against the typical war strategy, and to obediently cry out for triumph. Bartimaeus. Why are we told that Bartimaeus was the son of Timaeus? Why include that detail? Mark is the briefest of all the Gospels, but he takes the time to tell us the name of Bartimaeus' father. At later in Mark, at chapter 15, verse 21, Mark will tell us of Simon of Cyrene, who carried the cross of Jesus, and how he was the father of Alexander and Rufus. Why mention that? Because maybe the first listeners of the gospel knew who these people were. The son of Timaeus is simply a translation of Bartimaeus. The word bar means son in Aramaic, and Mark often translates Aramaic words to make the account more vivid. It is curious that in the Greek text, we are given the translation before we are given the name. In other words, roughly, a more literal translation would be the son of Timaeus, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar. Our story is the complement to the healing of a blind man back in chapter 8, verse 22 through 26. Remember how Mark pairs his stories. But in that story, the blind man is passive and unnamed. The healing is done privately with spit and touch. It takes two steps, and he is told to not even enter the village. In other words, keep it quiet. By the roadside, as we will see, Bartimaeus goes from being on the side of the road to being on the way. At verse 47, Jesus of Nazareth. The name Jesus was a very common name. By saying of Nazareth, it serves to distinguish Jesus from others of the same name. He began to cry out. This goes against the usual strategies and social norms for beggars, whose role is to be barely seen and not often heard. His quiet presence should remind pious community members of their obligation to give alms. He does not have a right to be obtrusive. He is allowed to beg, but not to badger. It is an audacious act for him to shout, and in some ways is similar to the story of the Battle of Jericho, by his willingness to cry out for help. Son of David. Notice that Bartimaeus heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, a title that identifies Jesus only by his peasant hometown. But when Bartimaeus cries out, he says, Jesus, son of David, identifying Jesus by his messianic designation. Even though Bartimaeus is blind, he's the only one who sees Jesus for who he truly is. Up until this point, the title Son of David has not been used by Mark to identify Jesus, and it is also worth noting that Jesus, who up until this point has been kind of keeping his true identity a secret, does not silence Bartimaeus. Now that Jesus is approaching Jerusalem, Jesus' true identity can be revealed and sets the tone for what comes immediately after. Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem, where the crowd will shout at 11:10, Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that is coming. Later, it will be revealed to the crowd, to Jerusalem, and to us, that the title, Son of David, does not simply mean a son or descendant of David. It means Lord, the Messiah, the Son of God. At verse 48, many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. For the crowd, the cries of Bartimaeus are an annoyance. Remember, the custom is for beggars to remain on the sidelines and trust in the goodness and mercy of others giving the opportunity to either ignore them, pity them, or perhaps give them some money. And I am sure all of us have experienced similar attitudes of being annoyed, of wanting to ignore, or maybe feeling pity, or being moved to contribute, or, on the other hand, of being one who is ignored. But Bartimaeus is having none of it. As we see in the next sentence, Bartimaeus does not want mercy from the crowd. He wants mercy from God. Have mercy on me. Bartimaeus is the very image of one without anything to offer and nothing to claim. He is a blind beggar, and he knows that he is totally dependent on God's mercy. Verse 49, call him. Even though just the verse before the crowd was telling Bartimaeus to be quiet, now they are relaying Jesus' call. In some ways, they are being an instrument of God's grace by inviting and encouraging Bartimaeus to go to Jesus. Although I don't think it is the main point of the passage, I think it is an opportunity for us to reflect on times when we've been wrong and then had an opportunity to make amends. The crowd was wrong to rebuke Bartimaeus, but now they are extending Jesus' call to him. At verse 50, throwing off his cloak. A cloak is both a beggar's covering and his livelihood. It's a cloak he wraps around his shoulders every night for warmth and security. A cloak he spreads out on the ground every morning to collect coins from passersby. A cloak he folds again to gather up each day's meager earnings at nightfall. He doesn't say to someone in the crowd, hold this until I come back. He cast it off. Bartimaeus is showing complete trust in Jesus, a trust deep enough to enable him to cast aside what is most familiar and safe. In shedding his cloak, Bartimaeus sheds his identity. He commits himself without looking back. He strains forward instead of clinging to history. He is, in the truest sense, born again, before he is healed, before his sight is restored. Before he can embrace his new identity, he must cast aside his old identity. He trusts in God's mercy before receiving any evidence of it. At verse 51, "What do you want me to do for you?" What a contrast to the question James and John asked of Jesus in chapter 10, verse 36. "We want you, Jesus, to do whatever we ask." Here, Jesus asked Bartimaeus, "What do you want me to do for you?" In one sense, it's a bizarre question. Isn't it obvious what Bartimaeus wants Jesus to do for him? He's a blind beggar, for goodness sake. How hard can it be to figure out what he wants? But Jesus asks anyway. He doesn't presume. He doesn't reduce Bartimaeus to his blindness. Instead, he honors the fullness and complexity of a real human being who likely has many desires, many longings, and many needs. In asking the question, Jesus invites Bartimaeus into the honest self-reflection essential to growth and healing. What is in your heart? What do you long for? What do you imagine I desire for you? It is at once a lovely and a terrifying question. It calls for radical honesty, radical vulnerability, and radical trust. Master. The word can also be translated teacher or rabbi. Bartimaeus moves from addressing Jesus as Son of David, who can show Bartimaeus mercy, to addressing Jesus as Rabbi, one who can show Bartimaeus the way. At verse 52, "Your faith has made you well." The word translated "made you well" also means saved and whole. Like all the miracle stories, this story has overtones of the totality of salvation offered by God in Jesus Christ. Bartimaeus receives more than just a physical healing. He is restored. Followed him on the way. Although Jesus had told Bartimaeus to go his own way, Bartimaeus chooses to go the way of Jesus. He chooses to follow the one who has shown him mercy and restored to him his true identity. Now his identity is fully realized. Bartimaeus recognizes that his gift of healing is not something to be selfishly enjoyed. He sees it as a call to discipleship. In conclusion, there are many points of entry for us in this brief story. One point is this: when blindness is healed, discipleship can begin. Thank you for listening. Take care and God bless.